Welcome to Career Practitioner Conversations. This podcast is presented by the National Career Development Association. Hello, and welcome to the second in a three-part series of conversations with Justin Wright, Tad Meyer, and Carly Inkman, authors of the book, Finding a Job That Loves You Back. They are joined by Courtney Warnsman, NCDA Trustee for Private Practice, Business Industry, and Agencies. In this episode, they discuss strategies for working with reluctant networkers.
This conversation is the second in this series of conversations that we're having about career development and collaborative negotiation and how those two things fit together. And this one is around how do you support reluctant networkers? Carly, Tad, and I have written a book that's called Finding a Job That Loves You Back that is making the argument that to be in a career, to find your way in the working world, in a way that is most aligned with what you care about and where you can best thrive and excel, is supported through doing that as a team activity instead of doing something you do alone. And that requires a thing that most people have some trepidation around, especially at the beginning, which is networking. And you hear the advice frequently as a young, early career person, you have to network. Networking's everything. It's not what you know, it's who you know, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, I'm sure all of us have had the experience of working with people who say, I just really would rather not, or I have no idea how to do that, or that terrifies me. And so today we want to talk about what strategies do you use when you're supporting people with this particular facet of the career process, which is networking. And so Courtney, if you're willing, I'd like to start with you, because I have some ideas of what Tad and Carly might say, but I don't know how you think. What are the things you see get in people's way? Let's start with framing the challenge and then thinking about how we support and address.
So I see several things. One being not wanting to impose on others. You know, they look at networking as in, you know, I'm constantly asking for favors and using the people that I know. And so it feels icky. And it's always fun to say to them, well, how do you feel when people come to you about this kind of stuff? Well, fine. Duh. So, you know, getting them to look at it from that side is one. Secondly is, as you were saying, Justin, they're all told you got to network, but they don't know how. You know, what does that mean? And so I go into this room of people, and now what do I do? What do I say? Who do I talk to? What's my purpose? Because I think they all come into it with the idea of networking when you're going through a career development or career change is, you know, these people you're going to meet are going to give you a job. And so I think it's reframing that whole purpose of what are you trying to get out of the networking to begin with?
That was such a robust answer. I loved all of that. And it so speaks to the failure of communication of those giving this advice that they say network, and it draws up this image of wading through a cocktail party where I'm then somehow going to bump into a job interview, which is so not how that normally works. Tad, Carly, what do you, if anything, do you want to add to what gets in the way for people when they're wanting to follow this advice? What's the hard part?
Good question. And so to reframe what Courtney said, those assumptions about what networking is get in the way. And so working on redefining those is helpful. But this may be just an offshoot of what Courtney said, but it's really about feeling like you don't belong. Mm. Feeling like, you know, what am I doing here? This person's some, you know, especially early in someone's career, here's this like executive vice president of whatever, and who am I? I just graduated from school or whatever. And why do they want to talk to me? And that is a huge wall at times. Mm.
So let's think about what helps. If you, part of the challenge here is a series of misunderstandings and also a concept of my own role and value in the interactions. What are the things that you find are supportive in reframing what this is? Because as Courtney said, a big part of the challenge here is that someone has said, you're going to have to skydive. And I freak out because I don't want to jump out of a plane. That sounds totally insane, et cetera, et cetera. And then I find out that skydiving is actually an activity where both my feet stay on the ground and I like have this virtual experience and it's really not that bad. Fine. It was just a definitional challenge, right? Like I thought I was doing one thing. I'm actually doing something else. So what are the things you frame for people in their experience of networking that supports them?
So for me, it's really about making it. The biggest concern is that they're not going to be authentic. They're going to be, as Courtney said, something like being schmoozy or salesy or whatever. And it's icky. And so making one of the first reframes I work with clients on is, how can we make this an authentic conversation? How can we make this a connection instead of a schmoozy networking icky thing? And that usually really helps because, and I usually start it by saying, what do you really want to know?
Mm.
And we work through that of what they really want to know and then reframe that into what are the questions, who to meet with, and that sort of thing, and into the whole process. So that's the beginning of it.
And that piece around what are the questions you really want to know is a really direct and important through line to what Courtney was saying about what's my purpose? And so often if I go into networking and either I don't know what my purpose is, which is what scared me about it when I started, I'm like, I just show up here and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know it's important, versus I'm going to show up and find a job. And both of those are tend not to be very helpful. And so being able to say, my purpose is to learn more about this, or to ask for a connection to someone who does this, or to whatever it is, having greater clarity of what is this actually, what am I after here that's personal to me is so important for dispelling that piece of what gets in the way. Courtney, what else?
I'm going to go down a completely different road here based on what you just said about authenticity. I like to preach at my clients that networking is a way of life, not an event. Mm. And I really encourage them to not be just scrolling through their phone when they're standing in line, wherever. And I'd like to tell a quick story, if I might.
Please.
A client who was at Costco one morning on a Saturday morning, you know, they're standing in line and baskets are full. And the person standing in front of them had a basket that had nothing in it but popcorn. I mean, popcorn all over the place. And my client asked this person, you know, basically said, what's up with the popcorn? Well, it turns out that this person was the CEO of a tech company here in Austin, and they had a popcorn cart. And so once a month, he would go to Costco and he would buy popcorn for the company. So she wound up, you know, having the discussion and kind of giving the elevator pitch and making that connection over popcorn, and then reached out to him over LinkedIn. They set a time to meet. She didn't wind up working for him, but he was able to point her in a lot of different directions, and it started this relationship that would never have happened had she been scrolling her phone in the line at Costco. And so, again, I really try to push this idea of networking as a way of life, not an event. Talk to people.
Yeah. And why? So, Courtney, if you're telling people, talk to people. But I'm not just walking up to a random stranger and being like, wow, those shoelace color, amazing. Why am I doing that? Why ask the person about their popcorn?
And it's about relationships and connection. And people are about connection. Mm. And so being able to connect over something that is not job related or not professional in any way, then when you do possibly give the ask for an informational interview or for something a little bit more formal, you've already broken the ice. And you've established this connection with that person beyond just asking them for something. Mm. You were showing interest in something that they were doing. And that's another thing that I talk with my clients about a lot is, don't make networking about you, make it about them. You know, what can you bring? Or if it is some sort of event, make yourself the host, introduce other people who you hear have different connections. But for me, networking is all about connecting first.
Mm-hmm.
To then when you do go for the ask, you've already established some credibility. You've already established that relationship. And people are generally willing to help.
Love that.
just want to add one thing, which is a colleague of mine wrote a book called You, You, Me, You. And that reflects that it's at least 75% about the other person. So love that, Courtney.
Yeah, that was a lot of what was coming to the surface of my mind as well while we were talking about all of this, because that is a topic that we put a lot of thought into in our book in particular, that the idea of one of the ways, there are plenty of ways, but one of the ways to sort of work with people around their reluctance to network is to reframe away from that ickiness that you pointed out, Courtney, that idea that you're schmoozing and you're trying to get something out of the other person, and that it's like this sort of using people kind of mentality, to reframe away from that into the idea of building a network of connections that are actual genuine connections that are meaningful and enjoyable. And I guess I wondered maybe, Justin, if you would want to give a small summary of some of what we get into in the book around that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that the two threads that we have from the conversation so far, which are this one thread around fundamentally, this is about being connected as humans. Like, we're all alive for this brief spark of miraculous life that we get to spend with other people. And so if my job is just this sort of soulless, heartless experience with no connection, if my career is a place where I don't get to be human with other humans, what am I doing? And so this opportunity to also give that to someone else, because a lot of work is impersonal. We live in an economy that is deeply extractive. And so there are lots of places where you don't feel human. You aren't seen for who you are. And just that in and of itself is of value. And as Courtney said, that also then builds the foundation that if 6 weeks from now, I run across something that looks like it's in the city Courtney lives in, and there might be a connection, I know Courtney enough from having worked together, from having had a positive connection as humans, to then say, hey, I saw this thing. Do you have a chance we could, right? So it's both intrinsically valuable, and it's also setting up the possibility of mutual support in the future, because they might also come to you, right? There's no guarantee that it's one way. The other piece, though, that is really important is understanding that every conversation between me and someone else where that's not a job interview, right? Flagging that thing Courtney said at the beginning, it's not a job interview, is still a negotiation where we are negotiating over things we care about, like being heard, being an advisor, being seen as useful, having my time respected, efficiency, whatever it is. And so my conversation with someone who's really, really busy might be walking them to their car, right? That meets their interests of efficiency and meets my interests of learning more about them. It's actually an exchange, even when I'm the person coming and giving a request for question answering, for connection, it's still an exchange, or they wouldn't be there. And sometimes it's as simple as Carly recommended that you speak to me. I deeply admire and care about Carly, so I will absolutely do that. But it's still because it's meeting an interest of mine to be a good friend and colleague to Carly. And so one of the things that we ask people to do is to sit down and think about who they want to talk to and think about what those people care about. Because that then sets up a conversation where I don't come in with this deficit orientation, right? Which is one of the things Tad was mentioning, is to come in imagining that there could be some value in exchange. That leads then to the how part. And I want to take the rest of our time to actually say, so this is the mindset that we want to support, instill, orient in the people we're working with. But then they actually say, okay, but I actually need to network. How do I do it? So what concrete advice do you give to the early or frightened, reluctant networker for the nuts and bolts, like as concrete as you can get about what does this look like?
So the first thing I do, and Courtney alluded to this, of break it apart. You know, what the networking is about has different layers to it. Is this brainstorming to figure ideas of what you may want to do? Is it that kind of conversation? Or is it an informational interview to find out about a company or an industry or a role? Or is it actually trying to find connections to someone who may have a role? What's your purpose? And so by breaking that down, we can then focus on, let's say it's a brainstorming conversation. Okay, so what's your ask in your messaging for this? And go through that. And what's the agenda for the meeting? So breaking it into pieces is the process so that they can do the next piece, and it's small steps instead of just networking, really tends to help.
So I want to just run that list back because I think it's really important to be able to say, why might I be networking? And it could be just to create a human connection, right? It was Courtney was talking about that then might lead to other things, but I don't have any secret agenda. Like, you just seem interesting. The popcorn seems cool. Let's talk about it. There's no hidden sly part of that. That is the whole thing. It could be a brainstorming piece. I trust you. I know you well, Tad. You know me well. I'm thinking about changing this thing. Can I just bounce some ideas off you? Right? That's a very different networking conversation than one that says, I've been thinking I might want to get a job at NCDA. And Courtney, I'd love to hear from you. What is it like there? What do they value? Where I'm gathering information about a specific place or a specific person, or requests for connections, where I say, Carly, I know that you know people doing the same line of work as you in Miami. And I could really use someone doing that in Miami. Could you give me some advice on that? But orienting around purpose is the first key piece of work we do in supporting people. So they know, what are you actually trying to achieve? What else? What other, Courtney, what other advice?
So y'all just set me up on this one. Tad talked about looking at what we're trying to get out of the networking. And then Tad mentioned earlier in our conversation today, something about them identifying, 10 people who they could talk with. What I usually have them do once they've determined their purpose is I say, okay, let's go through your LinkedIn connections or your little black book. And to me, there are really three main reasons or main purposes, main ways that someone may be able to help you. Either A, they can give you information about their company, about the city, about the market, about your skill set, whatever it is. The second, they can give you advice. How might you go about doing, achieving whatever purpose it is for? And the third is they can be a good source of referrals to other people. And so once they've determined their purpose, then I have them go through and look at their contact list and say, okay, now let's look through here. Which of these people are people who just know a whole lot of people that may be able to refer you? Or which of these people is in a specific industry or company of interest that you would like to explore? And so taking from identifying purpose, now let's identify the specific people who can help out with that.
I really appreciate and agree with the various concrete pieces that the two of you are putting forward. And I wanted to add something on a slightly different tack. I find myself using some similar approaches to what the two of you have outlined. And I also often find myself in the situation of working with clients whose reluctance to networking comes from a really deep place of having not much faith in other people. I work with a lot of people who have trauma histories. I work with a lot of people who have pretty complex trauma histories. And people who've had really good reason to learn not to trust other humans very much, who've had really good reason not to have a very hopeful perspective on, you mean that I could maybe network and build connections that might help me find my way from A to B? They just do not have a lot of faith in that process. And that's a really understandable. And so I often find myself having to take a lot of steps back, and just the therapy often is working on the sort of those really deep-seated issues of trust and those beliefs that maybe were true in their early life and maybe aren't true now, but are hard to unlearn, that other people aren't going to bring anything positive. Other people aren't going to help. And ideally, if things go well, go the way we hope, that maybe the therapy itself could be a little bit of a different process, a little bit of a different experience of feeling helped, of feeling a trusting relationship that can actually be a positive impact in their life. But then when it comes to, if we've worked through enough of that, that they do find themselves wanting to try to take some concrete steps towards networking or towards building connections, it's often the very first step that's the hardest, because that's the step that's going where they're really having to jump outside of their comfort zone and try to go against the previous, a lot of their previous life experience. And that's where I then have to try to pull on some of those concrete tactics that the two of you were describing. But often that first step takes a really long time. It takes a lot of contemplating before actually getting ready. And a big part of what I'm trying to inject into the process and shift is the idea that this first step could potentially go differently than a lot of the previous life experiences that you have in mind. And if it doesn't go differently, that's really hard. But when the process goes as hoped, then if that first step can feel a little bit different, then we have something to build on. We have something that felt like qualitatively different than their previous life experience that we can then build on together in our work as client and therapist.
At the risk of jumping way back, as Carly was talking, I was thinking about part one of our podcast series when we were talking about coaching versus counseling and advising. And the situation that Carly just outlined for us would be one where, as a coach, that would be a situation where I would love to get with a Carly and say, okay, I've got a client who's really struggling with this. As a coach, how would you suggest that I could best help that person or something like that? And so I think it's important for us as coaches and counselors and advisors that we are also supporting each other in this, because mm-hmm. we do all come at it from a little bit different perspective. So sorry, I jumped back to pod one, but you just brought that full circle for me. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And it's that being able to play that role well. And as you said, Courtney, relying on others to get advice on how to do that, because if I'm working with someone who is really overwhelmed by this, their conversations with me are their first repatterning. And then I'm supporting, coaching, advising, et cetera, them into the next conversation, which hopefully will be different. And there's a piece here that I often find myself doing that I want to just sort of add my last two cents as we close out this conversation, which is because that first step is so hard, I find some of my sessions are literally accompaniment, which is a nice word for accountability, where I will just say, like, in today's session, you're going to send 5 emails and I'm going to sit here. And I don't start there, and I follow. So I'll say, seems like over the last 3 weeks, you said you were going to send emails and you haven't sent them. And I imagine that's because this is really overwhelming. What do you need? What would be helpful? And often they'll say something like, I just need to send them with you here. And you're like, great, let's do it together. I'll proof them so you know there's no dumb typos or you said the wrong company name or whatever. And then they send them. And that first step being taken then creates this breakthrough for the ability to take those steps in the future. And so sometimes that is a really important role for us to play as coaches. The other way it shows up is just doing role plays of the conversations themselves. Tell me your story. Ask me your questions. Both because I can give you helpful feedback, but also because you'll just have done it once and then it won't feel as unknown. All right. That was our conversation about coaching reluctant networkers. And this then leads to a conversation that goes all the way in the other end of our coaching, supporting, counseling, advising work, which is, what about the people who are mid, late career? Do they need this? And why? So that will be our next conversation.